was a kid, there was a place. A dark place. They closed it down and let it rot. But the things that lived there... They come back.
Not many ride the bus this far north. You're running away from something?
I'm running away from myself, I guess.
Hi. You can hear me. You're magic. Like me.
I don't know about magic. I always called it the Shining.
Hi, Darren. How are you?
Very good, thanks. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule after the junket finished.
Oh, nonsense.
First things first, I was told that you're doing sound mixing today. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we have a sort of final screening here in a couple of days, and we're doing our mix downs, and then we'll have final visual effects in, and the movie will be done probably 10 days or so.
And how are you feeling about it all going well?
Well, you know that feeling? It's like it's as if you've raised a great high schooler and they need to go off to college, and you're still a little worried about what's going to happen when they get to college. But I'm too young to make this analogy as a parent, but you'll work with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I still have some anxiety about, you know, presenting it to the audience, because Mike and I believe passionately that once you put it out into the universe, it doesn't belong to you anymore. I don't think I'll ever release a movie where I won't have some, you know, anxiousness about that, but I'm so proud of the movie. So that's a good thing.
Well, that's the main thing. That's all you need. As long as you're proud of it, that's the main thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would want to see it as a fan.
Okay, yeah. Well, you've sort of made yourself a bit of a name of yourself doing all these horror sort of thriller sort of genre. Now, I'll be honest with you.
I do love those.
I'm a complete pussy when it comes to anything horror and all that. It's very hard for me to sit down and watch a horror film. I think It was the last film I successfully got through without mentally destroying myself.
Did you like it?
I remember watching the original when I was younger, and I loved the original.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so I was insanely happy with the one that came out a few years ago, and I'm really excited to see the part two. But my first experience with horror was I watched The Exorcist when I was 13, and it just destroyed me, and I've never been able to watch it again.
So my Exorcist was my third horror movie. Let's see, I think I saw The Changeling, the George C. Scott version, when I was... 11, and in my friend's basement. and then right after that, I saw The Thing, and then I saw The Exorcist, and then I saw The Shining. So those are the big four.
Oh, wow. Well, there's your education right there. So in regards to Dr. Sleep, obviously it's an incredible book, and a lot of fans have been hanging out to see that story translated onto the big screen. But how did you first get involved with this project?
So Mike and I have been working together for quite a few years now, and we had made a Stephen King movie for Netflix called Gerald's Game a few years back, which was sort of famously unadaptable as a novel, but Mike's screenplay managed to crack it, and King was very happy with the adaptation, and although we hadn't met him at the time, which is funny, we just emailed. He emailed us back in 5 minutes, but we've never spoken to him,
okay,
or let alone met him. And one of the things that happens in the world of Stephen King is when you do something he likes, you get invited somewhat ceremoniously into his agent's office to look at the list of other titles that may or may not be interesting to you and may or may not be available.
Okay.
So, and we had gone in there, and Mike and I had talked about Dr. Sleep because we both love the book, and it wasn't on the list. So, turns out that Warner Brothers, because they'd made The Shining, had the rights to Dr. Sleep, and so, but we didn't at the time know anybody at Warner Brothers.
Okay.
So, cut to a couple of years later, Mike is taking a general meeting with John Berg, who ended up producing the movie with me. And he was then a Warner Brothers executive. And they had a very fruitless conversation about DC Comics titles.
Yeah.
And but Mike said, hey, how about Dr. Sleep? I have an idea. So he said, okay, well, we're not doing anything with it. You know, come on back in. So Mike and I came in. We had a take. We pitched it. They loved it. We kind of checked in with Stephen King because we know that we're aware of his reservations about the Kubrick adaptation and our relationship with him is very important.
Yeah, of course.
And so we ended up kind of pitching everybody, here's what we would do, but it has to be okay with Stephen King or we're not doing it. And Warner said yes, and King said yes. And it was a very quick process from there. That was about this time, almost exactly 2 years ago. And then about 6 months later, we turned in the script to Warner Brothers and to Stephen King at the same time. And they both said yes in about 3 weeks after that, which is a minor miracle.
Wow. So it went pretty quick then.
From the time I think it was less than a month from the time we turned in the script to the time we got King's blessing and Warner Brothers, you know, not quite official green light. I think that came a week or two later, but they had declared their intention to make the movie.
Wow, that's incredible. That must have made you feel really good, though, didn't it? To get that response back.
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah. I mean, it was thrilling, and I'll tell you what the reason why it was thrilling, in addition to the fact that never happens, is that Warner has really understood the movie they're making all along, you know, in that it's not a straight horror movie. I mean, horror fans will love this movie, I think, but I hope. But it is a, you know, more of a supernatural thriller with intense psychological elements, not unlike The Shining.
Yeah.
But it's its own story. And so, you know, the generic worry when you get into business with certain studios, not Warner Brothers, is that they try and make something into something it isn't in order to sell it. And I have to say, like, from the minute they read the script, Warner has understood what this movie was and really embraced it for that, which I'm very grateful for.
Yeah, of course. And yeah, that's incredible. So obviously once King sort of signed off on the script, how much involvement did he actually have there onwards? Did he come on set? Did he ask you to tweak some dialogue or anything like that?
No, so we invited him on set and kept him abreast of everybody we were hiring because, like I said, we have a pretty close relationship with him. And now it's even closer because we've actually met him.
Yeah.
So he approved all the key cast. We kind of just keep everybody posted about where we're shooting, who we're hiring for, you know, key crew. It's always been King has a lot of approvals, which in our opinion, he's always used for good.
Yeah.
He's never really disrupted anything we've wanted to do on any of his things. But, you know, we like to keep him close to the process. It we feel like makes it better.
Yeah, of course. And then obviously when you're looking at the Shining, basically the Kubrick estate has a lot of power over what goes on with Kubrick's work. How was the discussions with them when you were talking about possibly using a couple of shots or recreating sequences or sets or anything? What was those conversations like?
So they were very generous from the minute they were. So Warner Brothers, which has a close relationship with the Kubrick estate, has done most of the talking with them, and they were extremely supportive and generous very early. I mean, from the idea to us coming on board, and once they saw the script, they really sort of embraced it for what it was as well, and they provided us with, you know, plans for the Overlook, and they provided us with there's one shot in the trailer that the blood elevators in the teaser is actually the one from The Shining. We're gonna replace that in the final, but it's very hard to replicate the blood movement with visual effects in a timely fashion.
Definitely.
And we do have a couple of other repurposed shots from The Shining in the final movie, and they were super. I mean, they didn't want us to overdo it, and we didn't want to overdo it, but they were very generous when our needs changed and when they saw the movie. You know, Kubrick's family was really very, very pleased, and they were effusive in their praise. So we were very grateful.
That's fantastic that you got that collaboration signed off and everyone's happy on all points. It seems like your tick you got you must be quite impressed with how many boxes that you actually got to tick on this one.
Now we just have the audience.
Well, the response from the teaser when that came out was incredible. So I think we're all looking forward to seeing a more of a fleshed out trailer. Is that coming anytime soon?
I'm not allowed to say when, but yes, it's coming soon.
Fantastic. Now, obviously, Mike is a real expert with shooting horror. Did he approach this project any differently?
Well, yeah, so interestingly, I mean, this is a bigger budget than we've ever worked with before, but you know, the story is also much broader in scope. You know, it takes place across several states and it's, you know, braided storylines, which is something we are familiar with, but it's fairly geographically diverse. And it's a pretty ambitious movie. So, you know, all that extra money went on the screen in a good way. So the logistics, I think, are the big difference. And you know, he and our VP, Michael Femminiari, you know, all of us really tried to embrace, you know, the visual style. We're not trying to mimic Kubrick, but we do try to speak in his visual language.
Yeah, of
You know, in
course.
other words, we used a 1.85 aspect ratio. You know, you'll see a lot of you know, center punch framing and symmetrical composition of shots. You know, there's that kind of thing that, you know, it's not meant to, like I said, mimic, but it is meant to kind of homage.
You wouldn't have a shortage of actors lining up to play the role of Danny. When you w was you and your first choice, and what was it about you and that sort of made you think this is Danny?
Ewan was absolutely our first choice. We didn't make we took quite a few meetings. We didn't exactly make offers until we took meetings. And Ewan was the first, you know, the meeting we wanted. And the reason is, you know, he well, first of all, is Ewan McGregor.
Of course.
You know, in that and what that means is he's got a lot of, you know, he has a lot of awareness, but he's a remarkably skilled actor. And the other thing was his passion for the character, because in the end, like for us, you can think about this movie as a sequel to The Shining. You can think about this movie as an adaptation of the of Stephen King's 2014 novel. You can, you know, but really, in the end, people go see movies because of people, and the character of Danny Torrance is the most important thing in the movie. I mean, it is a nice three-legged stool with Rose and with Abra. But Ewan's passion for Danny and his take on Danny was evident the first time we met him, and that's what sold us.
Looking at IMDb, you've got a whole bunch of projects in development and as well. Do you ever get a break? Because I looked at your list and went, when does this guy stop?
One of the things that Mike and I share, and this is the reason we're partners, is, you know, we both really like to work. And so my wife would argue that we don't get enough breaks. So I think that you ask a valid question. But you know, we're fortunate to have a lot going on that we're excited about. And you know, we have plenty of TV going under our Netflix deal, and we're really hoping to do more films with Warner Brothers. And we're both hoping you'll see more of them in the future.
Thank you, Trevor, and good luck with the release.
Great. Well, thank you, Darren. I appreciate it.
I always called it The Shining. The world is a hungry place, a dangerous place.
These people, they hurt people like us.
These empty devils, they'll eat what shines. And they noticed that little girl.
Well, hi there.
Get out of my head! Get out!
I haven't felt power like that in so long.
They're coming. Where are we going?
There's a place. You sure you want to do this?
I'm ready.
Yes, you run, dear. And then I will find you. And you will scream for years.
Come and play with us forever and ever.